Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own VA. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant, and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. With me always is Bree BV, Leanna Remley, and Quinn Hubbard. And I'm your host, Rachel Davila. Today, we're talking about cultivating safe spaces, and our guest specialist is Bree, because she brought this to our attention. It's something she does with her business. So, with that being said, I'm going to let Quinn ask the first question and take it away.
Yeah. So, Bree, how did bringing safe spaces come into your way of working?
Yeah, when I decided that I wanted to grow a team, I didn't really know what that would look like. I just knew that I didn't want to be some ho-hum leader at the front of the room that was like, everything is going to be my way or no way, and I know everything. I was very aware that I didn't know it all, and I've envisioned a team where we got to grow and encourage each other and empower each other and grow both personally and professionally. And it came up through the work that we do with a client of ours, Elaine Alec. She's the one who developed the framework. And when we were learning about her and the framework and what she does, I was like, this is what I was looking for. These are the words and an easy way to explain how I want to work with my team. And so I went and learned all about it. I became a facilitator when that became an option. And it's something that we both weave into how we work as together as a team with our clients, and we also teach it for other businesses.
What does it mean to build a safe space in a business, and why does it matter?
For building a safe space in a business, to me, it's emotional safety. It's being able to openly admit when we don't know the answer, or to be able to share an idea if we think we might have a better opportunity or a way of thinking of something, to be able to ask for help and admit when we don't know something. So that I feel like there's a bit of a stigma sometimes that if people feel like they have to ask a question, it means that they don't know what they're doing or that kind of thing. So sometimes I find people will struggle in silence. They won't ask for support, or even just knowing that something's going on in somebody's life, like doing a check-in and finding out, you know, maybe their grandma's really sick and they're really distracted. What can we do to support them? Like they're obviously not going to be present, and we want them to feel valued as a human first. So then what can that look like? Does that mean that maybe we have another team member step in and help lighten their load so that they can go be present where they need to be? Or does it mean that they just need us to double check things because they need the distraction, but they don't want to make mistakes or things like that? So being able to allow people to show up as people and to be able to share ideas, ask for support, and share where their strengths are and figure out what that looks like in the work that we all do together.
That's really cool. With our audience being overwhelmed business owners who are looking to find, hire, and work with a VA, how does this approach come into play? And is it something that other business owners can use when they're in that thought process?
Absolutely. When you're working with overwhelmed business owners, sometimes one of the best things you can do is be in open space to listen, right? Let them just be able to share everything that's going on and then be an outside perspective for you to be in open space for them to be able to share what's going on in their world, how they're feeling, to validate that what they're feeling is real. Like as a business owner, you don't sometimes have people that are in your world that are also business owners that understand. And our family members maybe don't get it, or our friends are like, but it looks like this or whatever, right? So being able to be a safe space to land for your client, if they're that overwhelmed business owner, being able to show up for them and let them share what's going on, and then helping them figure out what piece maybe, what's the next step that they can do, or what's something you can take off their plate to support them, things like that. And if they wanted to bring this in, I think like having a really good communication, like sharing what expectations are, sharing what you want the work to look like, what's important for you for your, the way that you communicate. How do you need things communicated to you? Are you more of a typewritten, you need everything written down in communication? Are you audio? Do videos help you? Things like that. So bringing in those kinds of pieces of communication and conversation help with those relationships and make it so that people can be open and communicate in a way that feels good and works for them.
I think that's excellent. Do you mind sharing a real example, a peek behind the scenes of how a safe space impacted a project or a relationship?
Yeah, we've had a few, both actually. I'll give a client example and a team example because they're kind of almost similar. With clients, sometimes I find when I first start working with them, I really need to encourage them, like, give me as much feedback as you can. Like, and it doesn't have to be like harsh or whatever, but like, tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. There's things that we can learn from both sides of the equation, right? Sometimes I have to encourage them to really give us examples of what they like, what they don't like. Maybe it's even outside examples, sending them to us, because sometimes it feels like they're worried about hurting our feelings, or they're worried that we know more than they do, so they don't share what it is that's going on for them. Or like, you know, I kind of like that design, but it doesn't really feel like me. But then they're not saying that. So then we put it together and maybe it looks pretty, but maybe it doesn't have that flair of them in it that they were hoping for. And that's not what we want. We want our work to make them excited. We want them to be able to like show it off and see themselves in it and things like that, right? So encouraging that conversation. And sometimes it's just me reminding them like, yeah, like be sure to give us the feedback on this, on every task for the first little bit. And then they start doing it naturally. Similarly, with team members, when they first start with me, I find one of the biggest struggles I have is making sure that they know it's okay to ask questions. Like they just kind of like, I would rather that we hop on a call and take 10 minutes and direct you and work something out, especially if you're just getting started and you're not 100% sure, or maybe we organize it in a way that our team knows, but you're unsure because you're new. Asking that question and taking that 10 minutes rather than you spending an hour or 2 hours being frustrated and not being able to do your work, I'd rather take that 10 minutes and have you do that 2 hours of good work instead of feeling frustrated and like you don't know what you're doing. Like, I'd rather give you that support. So encouraging them that don't feel like you can't ask questions. Please let me, I might direct you somewhere. I might send you a video. I might, you know, if it continually comes up, that's a completely different thing. But especially like when we're learning and growing together, like how can we support you?
Makes sense. Interesting. How does the philosophy help business owners grow and scale more sustainably?
Yeah, for growth and sustainability, where I find it really comes in is like making sure you have the right people in the right place, right? Like you hear all these different personality assessment type things out there, whether it's DISC or, you know, Enneagram or whatever, like there's all these different like personality tests, but basically it comes down that we all have different strengths, right? We all have these different things. What I love about the Cultivating Safe Space framework is that I found it simplified it for me. So what we refer to them as action people, relationship people, innovators, and storytellers, or traditional. And so when we can kind of pick up on who does what kind of thing, we can put them into roles that suit those strengths. So if somebody is really action-based and they love doing workflows and all these like you know, and coming up with systems and being very organized and doing the action type things, but we put them in a front-facing relationship type role, like maybe client connections and things like that, they're going to feel awkward. It's probably going to come across. Sometimes it comes across as a little bit abrasive because they're like, okay, get to the point. I need to know what action I need to take. So if we're putting those people in the front-facing role, maybe our client experience isn't quite what we want it to be or things like that. So being able to understand and have open conversations about what is it, what are the roles that people love doing? What are the tasks that people love doing? What are the things that they really wish they could give to somebody else? And maybe that doesn't mean we get to give it away today. Because maybe we just still, our team's only this big and we still need people to play those roles. But maybe it means that we can work towards having somebody else come in to fill that role of the things that these three people don't want to do or they're not lit up to do. So who can we find to fill those things? And so for that, it helps you to grow faster and have people who are excited about the work that they do. They're going to put more of themselves in it, see themselves in it, and be able to put the processes into place or be the client relationship person that you need and those kinds of ways.
Do you take clients through the assessment to like see where their strengths are? And so you know like what to take off their plate?
That's one of the things I love about this framework is that I don't have to do an assessment. There are cues you can get from the way that you ask questions or the way that people talk about themselves that really make it stand out as to who they are. For example, like if I am going in with a relationship person, they're going to be like, oh, hey, you know what? I met you because Rachel told me about this and I know this person. And they quite often will talk about who they know in their circle, or they'll want to like, hey, you know what? How was your weekend? How are you? They want that extra personal check-in or that kind of thing, right? Whereas the action people tend to forget that, you know, like if their emails come back and it's just like, you know, it's not, hey, my weekend was great, whatever. It's like, okay, so this is the next question I had for you. This is how, you know what I mean? So there's cues or like they have questions like, okay, so I know that we're going from here to here, but how are we getting there? Like, what's the steps? What do you want me to do? Okay, well, they're probably more action, right? If it's somebody who is, they need a minute. When you ask them a question, they ask you 8 questions back, or they're like, can I get back to you on that? I really just want to think about it and come back. They're probably an innovator. They just need that time to process, think about how things fit into place, come up with the 3 different suggestions of ideas that they're going to get you there and see which one lands. Like, so their brain thinks a little bit differently. You'll see those cues, right? And the traditional or the storytellers, they're like our knowledge keepers. They, for Elaine, when we work with her, she's a storyteller, and she'll openly tell you, like, you know, when you ask her a question, she'll tell you a story. And so at first, like, my team would get a little bit confused. They're like, I don't understand how this story pertains to the question. But if you start to listen for the nuggets in the story, it's like, she's telling us the story because she's telling us that she likes things done this way, and this made her feel really good, and she didn't really care for this part of it, or whatever it happens to be in the story, right? So understanding that when you're asking a question, they're telling a story, there's value to that story. What are the hints that we need to take from that story? So I love that you can just do it in a conversation. My daughter uses it in her dog walking business. If she goes to a dog walking client and it's like, you know, a guy, he's like, great, you look like a great kid, you seem trustworthy, I'm good. The interview's done in 5 minutes. She's like, he's probably action. He doesn't want lots of fluffy photos or videos of me playing with his dog or whatever, right? But she goes to another interview and the lady's like, hey, can we go on a 15-minute walk? An hour later, she's like, I really love asking you all these questions about your school. That lady, she wants the pictures, she wants the videos, she wants to know that you snuggled and played with her dog and whatever, right? So it applies in so many different things. You know, how do our kids come home after school? Do they come home and want to tell us all their stories? Or do they like, okay, I got to go home and do my homework or whatever, right? So it comes in all these different ways.
I'm curious now. I'm like, tell me what I am. Like, I love those kinds of things, but we'll do that off.
And here's the thing, we all have all of them, right? Like DISC, like all of them, we all have all of them. And so some of them will show up more in different areas of our lives, right? So like when I'm at work, I'm an action innovator and relationships really high up there for me as well. But when I'm at home, I'm way higher in relationship. I don't try and innovate how I clean my house, but I'm trying to innovate how we run business, right? So like depending on where you're at, like in the different places and roles that we play in our lives too, it can shift around as to which one of those qualities are higher up.
So what kinds of things should business owners listen for when like they're interviewing a VA? And is it easy for them to kind of go, okay, I am this, so I need this to fill in my gaps? Or is it something that, or is it something
absolutely
else?
Yeah, no, 100%. So like the way that we discuss it in the Cultivating Safe Space or CSS world is that you really want to kind of have somebody with each of those roles as like one of their higher ones in the work that you're doing so that nothing gets left behind, right? If everybody on your team is innovators, you might all just end up being ducks on a pond, spinning ideas, but nothing ever actually moves forward, right? You might come across as a little bit awkward or slow with other people because you're always having to get back to them because you need that time to process. So you want to have like a mix, right? So say I'm an innovator and I know I get lost in the weeds sometimes and I really just love thinking up ideas and brainstorming and coming things, but things don't actually come to fruition, Well, maybe you need more of an action-minded person or somebody who can be innovator and action, where they can see the dreaming, they can see the pieces, they want to help come up with solutions, but then they can also get you those action steps to get you forward and get things moving and getting a checklist for us so we can make sure we're getting some of those things done. Or if you're really action, and maybe sometimes people, you miss that warm, fuzzy feeling in some of the communication, well, maybe you need somebody who's got more of a relationship type part for their communications when they're going through your email. So now you want somebody who's like, when they check in on you, they're like, hey, how was your weekend? Or how is this? And looking for more of those relationship cues. We can also put things like questions to highlight some of those qualities in our interview questionnaire that we send out before we meet with people, right? If you're looking for specific qualities, you can ask, you know, if a client came to you with this, how would you respond? And, you know, if they're like, well, I'd make sure that they felt seen, that they felt this, that they feel, well, maybe they're more about making sure they're taken care of. But if they're like, I would send them this coupon code, I would do this and I would do that, and they're more action, but you don't feel that fluffiness, like maybe you want that. Maybe you're like, I just want them to be like efficient with my time, and maybe they communicate that way or whatever. So it kind of comes up with what are your objectives? What are the things that you want? And how do you want to feel in that working experience as well? Most of our clients love the relationship side. They want to have, for our team, that they want to have that feeling seen. They want to know that we walk with them. They want to feel like they have somebody they can go to, that they can talk to. They can talk out what's going on personally and professionally because they tie together, those kinds of things. So relationships really high for a lot of our clients. But maybe that's not for everybody. Maybe some other people are like, I just really want to have that action-minded person who's like, forget the fluffy, let's get stuff done, or whatever that looks like.
I think it's really cool that, you know, we can kind of see how people fit together in this space. I'm wondering, what are some of the tangible results that you've seen when teams or clients operate with this level of safety and alignment?
Yeah, it's been really awesome to watch that when we have this alignment and things are going, it feels like there's more ease. There's flow to the work that we do. We can see projects getting completed. Things that maybe sat on the back burner for a while are getting done. We get to play and kind of test different ideas. And, you know, like our team, especially, like we have a lot of innovator type minds too. So like we're always learning stuff. So we're like, hey, we learned this thing. We tried it with these two clients. How would we know if we try it with you and see how it works for yours? We feel like it might be a similar match. Do you want to try it out? Right. So getting to that place where you have foundations in place, you have, you know, your workflows, you have a way that people can come in and help support and take things off your plate because you've got it documented. We had that all done. Now we get to play and we get to like make different offers and do all that kind of stuff. So it's fun to watch it come into place and see that progression of getting the foundations in, getting the progress of like, and then the growing and the sustainability and scalability, right? Watching that business go through those phases and get to where now they're serving more clients. Maybe we're doing a group coaching thing now that they've done lots of one-on-one, or maybe we've gotten to a different level in their business and they get to offer higher level investment offers and stuff like that. So it's fun to watch the progression and see how that comes out in their business journey.
So Bree, if a business owner is listening and wants to implement this in their team, where should they start?
I think a biggest part to start with is one is like understanding yourself. Right? Taking some time to kind of get clear on where you're at and what your needs are. Like, do you need to feel seen? When you're working with somebody, do you need somebody who is going to ask you a lot of questions and touch base on a regular basis? Or do you want to be able to give something to somebody and let them just go do it and trust that they'll do it the best they can and then come back and meet up with you? What are the things that are important to you in a working relationship? Is it, you know, like I said, those high touch points. Do you want to have lots of feedback? Do you want lots of different questions and ideas? Or do you want to just be the one with the ideas and getting them to implement it? I feel like a really good place to start is kind of like understanding yourself and what your needs are. And then learning to have an open mind for feedback on both sides and learning what your communication style is. If you're more auditory, if you need written things, like I said, or visual, that kind of stuff. And then also, we're never really taught really how to listen, like really listen, right? Without thinking about what's the next question I'm going to ask? What's the thing I need to do after that? Or that kind of thing. And I found that since I've been doing this work, and it's an ongoing thing, because I feel like it's like meditation, you kind of do it and then your brain goes off and then you have to come back and do it again. But like practicing listening to people and picking up on what you hear and having deeper connections that way really makes a difference in your communications and the way that you understand, the way that you receive information and then be able to do something with it. We're not missing some of those gaps and stuff when we're listening more deeply.
So if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're listening to it on your favorite podcast platform, you are not seeing how lit up Bree is when she talks about this topic. But we are lucky we get to see her in all of her brightness about talking about cultivating safe spaces. And that's why we brought her on today to talk about it as her specialty, because it sounds like it's not one of those one and done kind of, okay, I know I'm this and I don't look at it again. A lot of what you said is stuff we've talked about in other episodes with different vocabulary, but essentially the same kind of thing, right? Communication, knowing your gaps, knowing yourself. So if someone is listening and going, oh, I really like this framework, cultivating safe spaces. And I know for me, when I start to hear something over and over again from different sources, it kind of pings my brain like, that might be something I should learn more about for what it is, right? My current topic is human design. Who knew? But, you know, I know that some people are going to hear this and go, oh, cultivating safe spaces. That keeps coming up for me. Where can they go to learn more about working with this or accessing any of this knowledge that you share so beautifully? How do they connect with you, or where would they go?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some information written up on our website. Periodically, I do open public sessions for people to be able to come in and learn more about the framework virtually. I do virtually and in-person sessions to help give an introduction or take the work deeper in different types of seminars. And you can also go and look up Nux Meest. That's Elaine Alex's business, and she's the one who founded the framework. And they also have books, they have online training courses, they have YouTube videos and newsletters and communities that you can join as well. It's a really magical community. It's kind of fun that, like, when we decided that, well, when Elaine decided that she was so booked out, she needed to train other facilitators. I think there's over 200 of us now, and everybody does it so differently. They bring it into so many different areas. There are people bringing cultivating safe space work into government industries, into climate control or climate action movements, to education spaces, to like somatic movements, to therapy, like you name it. Like there's so many people doing so many really cool things with it. And there's even a directory on their Cultivating Safe Spaces website of all the different people that are doing it in different ways. If you're interested in how you might be able to apply it, or if maybe it's not a business way you're looking at it and there's another way you want to learn about it, there's probably somebody out there teaching it.
So do you bring a VA perspective to it?
So when I teach it, if I'm doing a public session, I try to make it more how you can apply it to your life and to your work. So I just kind of do it more as a broad strokes. When I'm working with, if I'm speaking at a conference, or if I'm talking with businesses, then I do it more from like a leadership perspective. Like, how do we bring this in with our teams? What does that look like? How do we work together in this way and still get the work done? And what does this whole idea even look like? What I love about the framework is it's based in Indigenous knowledge, and it comes from a lot of different teachings that Elaine has gathered over the years. And it just feels good. Like when you start talking about it and you start hearing about it, it's like, it kind of makes sense. It feels like common sense, but why do we not do things that way? Like it feels good. It feels natural, but then it's something we still need to be taught, which kind of feels funny in a way too.
I'm not Brie. I don't have a plethora of questions. I love her curiosity. So is there anything that we didn't ask that we should have that you want to share with our audience?
So I think that you guys asked a lot of really great questions. I feel like it's, like you said, not a one and done. Don't be afraid to be human. It's not going to be the first time we get it right, but the coming back to it and starting again and regrouping or trying on something new, being open and talking to your team about what's working, what's not working. That's kind of what we do as our team meetings. We meet every 2 weeks and we just go over, you know, what are we celebrating right now? What's going well and what can we improve? And what's the feedback we're getting? And then we use that as part of our next action steps of what we want to do. And what do we want to learn? Because, you know, curiosity.
Well, don't worry. All of the links that Bree talked about will be in our show notes. So they'll be in one place for you to check those out. And thank you, Bree, for talking with us about cultivating spaces. I know I've been seeing it on your social media for the last however long you've been posting it and have been curious. So thank you for explaining what it is and how business owners can use it to work better with their teams, whether that's a virtual assistant or teams.
Yeah. If anybody ever wants to geek out or learn more about the framework, I am always happy to answer questions or walk it through.
Great. That wraps this episode. But if you have any questions about what we talked about today or just have general questions for us at all, please email us at heyvapodcast@gmail.com. Or use one of the links in our link tree to connect with any one of us. If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a like or a share or a review. We like those too. Thank you so much for joining us and we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks. We'll see you next time.